Connect with others in the Awaken Therapist community and join us over on Patreon. When you become a member of the Awaken Therapist community, you'll gain access to exclusive teachings, consultations, and resources. Find out more at awakentherapist.com. I'm Harmony Quaker, licensed counselor, author, and visiting instructor at Naropa University, where I teach Gestalt therapy. I created this podcast to support therapists and clients in unlocking the magic of psychotherapy. In season two, I'm joined by expert therapists who bring a wealth of insight into the conversation of transpersonal counseling. Authentic relating has been hugely important for me in discovering my authentic voice. These present moment relational practices are inspired by Gestalt therapy, and they can be a dynamic and profound way to engage in relationships. In this episode, I'm joined by the founder of the Relational Leadership Academy, Peter Will Benjamin. Peter and I discuss the various ways these practices can impact a person's life, and in the teaching portion, he offers us a masterclass on working with anger. I feel so excited to be here with you, Peter. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it feels so good. It's just really nice to this is our second time talking, but our first time seeing each other, and it's just so nice to have that point of reference. And yeah, and this is like one of my favorite topics, so I'm delighted to be in it with you.
I was changed by authentic relating and circling. I had already been a therapist for about, I think, 10 years before I found the practice. And when I learned about it, I went all in, and just dove into the alchemy of relationship. And it seems like you dove in at first. Also, you've created this amazing online resource for folks and some trainings. And so I just would love to hear about how you found authentic relating and circling and how the whole alchemy was for you.
You know, it's so funny. I was living in Boston at the time, and a friend enthusiastically invited me to, an authentic relating games training. And I was like, not really into games. But I ended up going to a circling night after the authentic relating training, and I was just like hooked. I was like, there's like a technology to building intimacy, community, and relationship, and there is a context that can be so beautiful and ongoing. I flew to Austin to do an authentic relating training, and then I was so interested in circling as well that I and I'm very discerning, so I actually ended up talking with three different schools and convincing two schools to collaborate with each other, and then spent a few months enrolling a cohort and like hosting the training in my home. So I'd fly teachers from two different schools every month to my house for like 8 months.
I love that. To really just like bring together the people who you want to learn from and relate with and create that in your home.
And I have to say that one of the reasons I was drawn to circling and authentic relating was, I'd always struggled around a sense of belonging. That was hard. And like connection was something that I really enjoyed, but I rarely felt that I would had enough of it. And building that training, I was still a student, but I was at the very heart of it. And that was my first sustained experience of belonging. And I have to say that my life has never been the same since. My capacity to make friends and enter community has never been the same since because I had one profound experience of belonging. And that I was like, I'm in the in-group, And I'd never felt that way before, not really.
So beautifully said. I was also initiated with a games night. I think, there is a difference between games and circling, which I'd love to for you to explain in a moment, but I was going on a first date with somebody who I'd met online, and he asked me if I wanted to go see a movie, and I was like, yeah. And then like an hour before we were going to meet, he's like, actually, do you want to go to this authentic relating games night? I was scared out of my mind. I was shaking. I shook a lot when I was nervous back then. And I just was all in right away. I just loved it so much. And that sense of belonging that you mentioned, I don't think I realized that it was missing from my life until I had it. It's this ineffable, not only I belong in this group, but I belong here on this earth.
I remember this moment in my authentic relating training where they were doing this exercise where they really, it was two on one, where two people ask you questions to really and make reflections to try and really understand what it's like to be you. And the partners I had were very skilled. And I walked away from that interaction really feeling like, whoa, maybe there's way more to who I am than I ever thought. And maybe it's lovable, that more that I don't know. And it was that moment that really like drew me in. Why I think authentic relating and circling are so important, especially if you're a therapist and also T group, these different like, you know, authentic relating technologies, right? I can break those down in a little bit. But I came to that whole world as a trained professional relator, right? Like I was a coach. At the time, I had two coaching trainings under my belt, some leadership trainings, and I was like trained to the gills to give people breakthroughs. And it changed my life. I think it does a lot of practitioners. And it completely changed the way I interacted with people. But unfortunately, I forgot how to be a friend. I forgot how to receive in a lot of ways. I had been trying to get my needs met unconsciously before being trained, and then I really became more aware of them. And then I started just shoving them. Oh, yeah, just serve other people. Try and get your needs met that way. And I see a lot of therapists recreating therapy relationships in their friendships, coaches too. And I really feel like circling, authentic relating, it gave me a framework to remember how to be a friend again. There was this like just this huge whoosh, like relief, like, oh, right. I'm not here to give my friends breakthroughs. They don't want that. I don't need to do that for them. And there's many layers of deeper relationship and connection possible that isn't me trying to save anybody.
As I'm listening to you, I'm actually thinking about a question that a student asked me the other day, specifically around, I teach about one of the things that we're doing with our clients is we're being a clear mirror so they can see themselves more accurately and see the way that they're disrupting contact with the present moments, what a Gestalt therapist is doing. You know, I believe that countertransference is actually the intuitive landscape of the therapeutic container. And the student was relating this to a friendship where she wanted to be that clear mirror for the friend. And she's like, oh, I could do this over here in this context. And what I learned through circling was that because I had been a therapist for so long, I had so much attention out. And I wasn't looking at my relationships as a mirror for myself. Because I was looking at other people, wanting them to be safe for me or different. So I didn't feel the thing that I felt or something to that effect. And so there's this sort of interesting dance of being a person who uses our inner resources and witness for others' transformation and learning how to really be in true connection. Authentically and honestly with the people that we love and want to spend time with.
And it's just so common, like, because, like, oh, I want to be loved. I want to be useful. And, you know, we give out and we give out. And then we can get, it's so easy, at least it was for me, to get so deep into that. Like, I just lost the map of what a friend even really is. And even in some ways, like a partner, like in my romantic relationships, it was a little bit, you know, a bit easier because it's like there's more context for that. But it was really stunning how other-oriented I had become in that work.
I really love how you highlighted remembering how to receive, like receive the nourishment of attention, or so even just be held in presence with somebody else without needing to do anything for that attention. And that's one of the most beautiful things about circling to me is that for a certain amount of time, If we're the one who is having a circle, depending on what type of circling you're doing, we are receiving attention.
I don't know about for you, but for me, still, and I've tripled down on this lately. Like I'm getting like at least 2 hours a week of coaching for myself, coaching or therapy. It's such a constantly like a letting go. There is this part of me when I'm receiving that starts to grip, like an inner gripping of like, I need to check in with you. I need to manage your experience in some way. Is this too much? Am I a burden? Okay, I've been sharing a hard thing. I had this interaction with a dear friend where I was like sharing something really hard. It had been about 10 minutes. And I was like, is this too much? We can shift topics. And she was like, you support me for hours. It's been 10 minutes. Like this, you're totally fine. I'm so happy. And it was my perception of what balance actually is, could tell it's just so off. And so it's just this constant practice. It's just scary. It's like falling. It's not just like falling. It's like falling backwards off a cliff and you don't know what you're going to land on. Like the act of receiving, people think of it as passive. And I'm coming to think of it as a really active process of continuous surrender. And I want to relate it to a little bit of some of these practices, but maybe we can spend a little bit of time to define our terms here for a moment. So there's this idea of authentic relating and authentic relating games, which is kind of the big umbrella. And there's all these different practices underneath it, right? Like there's this really classic one called the noticing game. It blows people's minds, right? It's like you start by noticing your sensations, and then you just notice your emotions. There's different ways of playing, but then the other things you can notice is things that are objectively true about the other person. Oh, I notice you're wearing glasses and they're reflecting the light. So really trying to be objective. And then, we can notice again, like our more subjective things, like, oh, I notice this assumption. Like I'm making up a story that you're enjoying this moment. So you can have all these different layers to play with of like, oh, I have these interpretations, right? They're subjective and not necessarily true. I have observations that are more on the objective side. I have sensations, I have emotions. We just break that down for people. Remember, we did this for some Harvard Divinity students once, and they were just like out of their minds. They're like, this is so amazing, And it's like, it's so simple, but people don't know how to break down ideas into experiences. I want to talk about that a little bit more later on. So authentic relating games are structures that create connection. And then there's a specific authentic relating practice called T group, a lot older. It was started in about the 40s. And its original intention is really funny, was to like train managers and companies on power dynamics and emotions and become more emotionally literate. It's really a simple practice, really similar to kind of noticing is like people get together in small groups and they share their present moment sensations, feelings, and then their assumptions and desires. And it's got to be present moment. You don't really talk about what you're planning on or this thing that happened even 5 minutes ago. And for me, that's my practice. And the reason for that is that there's one more piece I haven't told you or haven't told the audience, right? Which is like, you're not allowed to ask questions. And as coaches, as therapists, questions is our primary tool, right? And so when you take that away, it's like, oh, it's this practice of coming back to self. And then I notice I'm leaving, I'm going over there. Oh my God, I want to ask you a question. Wait, that's not the practice. And then, okay, what am I feeling now? And it's this, for me, I love it because it's this moment of like putting myself in a situation where normally my attention would be out. And the key was constantly putting the attention in. So I start to see all of this stuff that I wouldn't see before. And then circling is a very similar practice. And I own a facilitation school. We have classes in this every day. And circling is very similar to T group, except for two things. One, there's a facilitator. And two, you can ask questions. And then the third piece, depending on the type of circling, is that everyone's putting their attention on a single person. That's kind of an overview of the technologies that we're discussing. I don't know which of your listeners knows what, but they're unbelievably powerful experiential practices that allow you to become unbelievably skilled and practiced in the space of closer relating. It doesn't always translate to like, how do you hang out at a bar and connect with new people? But when it comes to navigating friendships, relationships, all the different things, it just completely changed the game for me.
I love the way you broke that all down, Peter. Thank you so much. It's been a while since I've been in the community, and just hearing your overview had me remember that T Group was actually what I loved also. And as you described it, I remember feeling really inept the first time you did T Group. Like, I don't know how to keep coming back and looking at myself and being curious about my own experience while I'm in a group of people who I sort of know might be attracted to, might be intimidated by, or something else. And I loved being in that dance of like just being in the discovery of who I was in each moment.
And that's such a radical thing to be like, okay, normally we talk about, we tell stories from our past, we talk about ideas, and it's like a space where we come together and we say, what's happening now? And it's even more radical than that. It's like, what's happening now between you and I? And like, usually, I don't know, before this, like my experience was that I only talked about my relationship and my closest relationships, usually when we were fighting. And so to be able to like to do that on purpose is just amazing. I remember I was deep in the practice and I went out dancing. I had these lovely dances with this woman. I asked her, I was like, can I share what it's like to dance with you? And she was like, sure. And I just described the internal relational experience for me of dancing with her. And I remember her jaw literally just like dropped. And she was like, no one has ever talked to me like that before. She ended up joining the community and circling with us quite a bit. But it was for her, it was just like, you're allowed? Like, I'm allowed to do that?
That's an important piece. I actually remember I was at a workshop with my husband and somebody was talking to us and we were in a thing and I wanted to set a boundary. And so I just did this present moment context setting. My husband looked at me and he's like, "You can do that with a stranger?" Yeah.
Can do that, yeah. And it's funny, I was giving a talk earlier today and I was talking about this idea of like so many of the sitcoms from like the late 90s and early 2000s, like Friends and Seinfeld and all these different things, like the entire premise is their belief that you can't do that. So like they won't say the thing that's clearly happening. And so then there's like assumptions and then it's like this entire moment you're like, no, just tell the truth. And it's like awkward. And then they try and overcompensate by like doing something way too extreme. And it's so funny. But it feels like this cheat code where it's like we don't have to play out like a bunch of Seinfeld episodes in our lives when we're allowed to do this.
I'm over here like holding my stomach. This is the funniest thing I have never considered. It's just such a mirror of what we do when we're dancing around what actually is. And you know, the difference between having a relationship and being in relationship is really what I used to sort of marvel at when I was really in the practices. Like to be in relationship with somebody is so different than trying to hold on to and label and have this relationship. There's like this freedom and this life that emerges when we're present with what is.
I really love the distinction between having a relationship and being in a relationship. It's like having a relationship kind of feels like a theory, whereas like being in a relationship feels like it's real, it's happening, it's like here it is. It's so fun. I'm really enjoying just getting to chat about this stuff with you. Can
Me
really, yeah,
too.
it's such a happy place for me. And I love getting to just dig in with you.
And I, you know, just to bring this back to therapists and coaches learning how to be really authentic and honest with the people in their life.
Where my mind was kind of going was this question of like this conundrum of authenticity when we're practitioners. I think this connects, it's like when we're not present and in that sense of some more sense of internal safety, there's this constant grind in how we show up. We're a little bit like left of who we really are, and that's really draining. And so once I did my authentic relating training, I had this business partner, Megan. Love her so much, but my God, she would get so drained from she was assisting in a coach training and she would coach. And so, I was like, there's an authentic relating training coming up. I really think you should take it. She's like, I know I can't afford it. I was like, I already paid for you. And she was like, okay, fine. She used to go do these 2-day coach trainings and we were working together, and that would take her out for a whole week. She'd just be exhausted for a whole week. And after the authentic relating training, it was like those trainings, meetings, like they didn't drain her in the same way. Like it's such a balm against the burnout that I think so many of us can feel, to be able to move that line so that we're not being almost who we are, but a little bit of a polished, different, slightly self-repressed version of ourselves into, hey, no, this is what's coming up for me, right? And using our counter transference as the magic for being that mirror for our clients.
Yeah, when we're off center, we end up feeling more drained because we're not actually staying connected with our source of our energy. Like we're trying to make other people our source of our energy in some way or give our energy away to them as opposed to just being here with what is. It's more efficient in so many ways.
Yeah, that's funny. I wouldn't have used that word, but I really like it. It's like, yeah, it's like putting a more efficient fuel in your car that burns cleaner, doesn't pollute the environment, you know? It's
Right, we
it
don't need
feels
to do the
better.
Seinfeld episode where we're just sort of talking around everything.
Yeah, like everybody's hiding something because it's a little too embarrassing, and then all the overcompensations write the storyline, you know, and it's life doesn't have to be like that. But it really is for some people.
Yeah, I heard you say earlier that like, the practices don't necessarily translate to hanging out at a bar. And I think that they necessarily can also if you want them to.
I'm thinking about one Seinfeld-y moment. I was speaking with this woman, really sweet, lovely woman, and she doesn't like asking for things or disappointing people. Like receiving is really hard, and she liked her landlord. So she felt really bad when she decided to move out. So she just didn't tell the landlord. And then she moved out. And she didn't tell the landlord that she'd moved out until 2 months after she'd already been gone. She paid double rent just so she didn't have to tell the landlord. Like, I'm so sorry. I don't want to live in your place anymore. I don't know how unusual that is.
Yeah, the way that we sort of manage our own needs because we think we're taking care of somebody else,
Totally.
or even managing the way that we think they're going to perceive us. So much work. It's
Yeah.
exhausting.
I have one more perspective on authentic relating for therapists and coaches that I'd love to share. I was someone who I struggled in school, but I love to learn. And so as an adult and as an educator, I've become obsessed with education. One of the things that we really know from amazing the education schools of education at Stanford and Harvard and other institutions that there are vastly more effective ways of teaching and educating, and we're not using them at all in universities, in high schools, et cetera. But there's this idea of experiential education. And so authentic relating games, you can go and get the games manual from authrev.com or .org for free, or you can donate, whatever. And you can look through that. You can go to games wherever your local area is. And if you're ever considering being an educator in your field, these games can teach you, if you really pay attention, how to take any kind of concept and turn it into an experience that drives it home. And the kind of learning and engagement that's possible with students is like just completely next level. Just one quick example. Here in Boulder, there's a Zen school. And in Zen, they teach koans, these kind of mysterious stories, and you have to kind of contemplate it. So there's this beautiful story, it's very circling actually, of father daughter, and they're carrying, food from the field back to the store, and the father stumbles and falls. So immediately the daughter runs up to him and stumbles and falls right next to him, and he says, "What are you doing?" She says, "I'm helping." And so the Zen teacher tells the story and then doesn't just have people think about it. Then they have one person, they pair off and they have one person fall and the other person run up and say, "Here, let me help you up, or like, give me your hand." And they say, "What are you doing?" And they say, "I'm helping." So they do that a couple of times and then they try the other way where they just fall next to them. And they say, "What are you doing?" They say, "I'm helping." And so they get to feel and experience. I mean, that's the next level of education. It's like, no, it's not enough to just talk at me. Even if it's a good story, like that's beautiful. But get it here. Get it in my body. I want you to put it in my heart. For some of your listeners, I might take a call. I might take a class with one of you one day. And if you know how to take knowledge and turn it into wisdom in my body, my God, the power of your gifts are so much more potent.
That was beautiful. Thank you. So, for folks who are listening, I'd love for you to just say your website where people could reach you. I'll also put it in the show notes.
It's the connectioninstitute.net is where you can go and do authentic relating and circling. And for my personal website, if you're interested in working with me, it's peterwbenjamin.com.
Join us in the Awaken Therapist online classroom, where my guest offers a master class in their area of expertise. This is intended for educational purposes only, and the content here should not be taken as advice or clinical supervision. Find out more at awakentherapist.com. The Awaken Therapist Level 1 certification is starting September 2025. In the 6-month training, you'll learn how to unlock the magic of psychotherapy. Join us in exploring deeper dimensions in your work with clients with less burnout. To learn more, check out our trainings at awakentherapist.com.